Lord bless each one here this morning. It's good to be here again. I was blessed with the Sunday school discussion this morning. Went well with at least some of those verses there in Romans. Went well with the message that I'd like to share this morning. Again, taking from the book of John, one of John's great stories. So if you would, turn your scriptures this morning to John 9. Don't have anybody here this morning that's blind, but I have a question for you. I'd like for you to think about through the message this morning, how well can you see? I titled the message this morning, Blinded by Sight. And you'll probably catch on as we go through the passage this morning. Would we stand this morning and read John chapter 9? Beautiful story. I love, John just has some really special stories. Really goes into the detail on this one. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He sent his way therefore and washed. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and washed. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him there that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he do thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Thank you. You may be seated. Love this story. I'd like to look at several different people in this passage, people in several different conditions. They all encountered Jesus. We have Pharisees, we have disciples, and we have the man who was born blind. They all heard truth. Several things that Jesus did and said here were not necessarily easy for them to hear, but they all heard. They all heard the truth. They all heard the truth that God allows good people to go through hard things and even suffer for His glory and purpose. They heard that suffering is part of the human experience and not necessarily the result of an individual's bad choices. They also heard, or were made aware, that their idea, their interpretation of the law was not valid in God's eyes. Their interpretation of the Sabbath law was not valid. It was not what God wanted. And they're all faced with the question, who is Jesus? Again, you see that here in the book of John again. The question comes down to, who is Jesus? By what authority do you do these things? Who are you? What gives you the right? And they all had the opportunity to accept the Messiah. The first one, the blind man. The blind man, to me, speaks of humility. You know, what did he have to lose? He went every day to the temple. He sat there and he begged. He could not help himself. He couldn't make his own living. He probably felt like a burden. It always been that way. So he had nothing to lose. And he is open to receiving sight. He has no reason to turn down the work of God. There's nothing. He's not hanging on to anything. He has nothing to lose. He's always been blind. He understands blindness. To him, and I wrote this down, I'm going to say it anyway, to him this was a chance to see, but I'm not exactly sure that he even realized what was going to happen. I don't know that. Gives another layer to the story there that I haven't fully explored. But he is open to receiving sight. He's no reason to turn that down. To him, sight is a chance at freedom and independence that go with sight. All his life, he's never had it. He's no longer dependent on someone to lead him. He's no longer dependent on others to feed him. You know, productivity becomes a possibility that he's never had before. It's also a possibility to meet Christ, to meet Jesus, the Son of God. The blind man chooses to respond with obedience. And after the miracle, he chooses to respond with confession and belief that this is the work of God. Verse 25. He says he responds with loyalty to Christ. And to me, the Pharisees, of course, they say that Christ is a sinner. He says, sinner or not, I was blind, now I see. He opened my eyes, whether he's a sinner or not. And in verse 27, he responds with a challenge to the Pharisees. Will you also be his disciples? And I think that's really the question of this whole episode. This is really what made the difference between the Pharisees' response to this whole thing and the blind man's response to this whole thing. It's that question. Will you also be his disciples? And that's still the question today. Will you also be his disciples? That's where we finally come to in our life. Like we've talked about this morning, we've been taught the law. We've been taught what God wants. But finally, that's not where God wants us to be. He wants us to be his disciples. So we have three groups of people here. And two of them wanted to be his disciples, one of them did not. God doesn't hear sinners. To him, to the blind man, it was pretty obvious that this man was no sinner. God very definitely worked through him. And then in verse 38, he responds with belief and worship. And now something interesting. All of this, his healing, everything, is preceded by a willingness to obey a simple command. Will he do what this man tells him or not? We don't read that Jesus told him what the clay was about. He just spits in the dirt, makes the clay out of that, puts it on his eyes, and tells him to go wash. And he went. He had the clay on his eyes, and he had the order from Christ. What was he going to do? Would there have been a miracle if he would have just scrubbed the clay off of his eyes with the back of his shirt or back of his sleeve and kept sitting there? Would there have been a miracle? Would he have gotten his sight back? I don't think so. Obedience. Obedience unlocked the miracle. He didn't even know who Christ was. Obedience unlocked the power. Obedience made it possible for God to give him sight, or for him to receive sight. God can do anything, but in order for him to receive sight, he had to be obedient. Too often, I want to know why. I want to know what the costs and the rewards are before I obey. But the blind man had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. You and I don't have anything to lose either. We just think we do. What little do we have to lose to be obedient to Christ? Sight. Sight brought a radical change into his life. You don't go from being blind your whole life and all of a sudden being able to see without radical change. So this was so radical that people wondered if it was for sure him. I assume he still looked the same. But suddenly they weren't sure if it was him. You know, obviously they had they'd never seen anything like this, so they had that to deal with, to overcome. And they wonder for sure if it was him. But for him, the old life was over. He was a different person. If you have received spiritual sight this morning, you are not what you were before. You can't be what you were before. You have discernment that you didn't have before. You can see that not everything you can have or do is good for your spiritual life. And like Andrew said, instead of blindly looking for what others should do for you, you see what you can do for others. There's just a lot of things that change when we have the spiritual sight that Christ gives. Then we have the disciples. We're going to look at them just a little bit. They aren't really the main characters in this story. You know, I can imagine them. They're walking there with Jesus. They're walking through the temple, and here they see this man sitting there. He's rattling his cup, waiting for change, waiting for something. And the disciples ask the question. And sometimes I've been kind of hard on them already for asking this question. I can find it here again. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Who sinned? I think the disciples were a little bit blinded as well as the Pharisees. Somewhat the same thing. They were blinded by what they saw and what they knew. So they saw this man, he was blind. He was blind from birth. And they knew what the law said. And that's the question that I ask. Were the disciples justified in asking this question? And we get kind of hard on them for it. But think about it. Read Deuteronomy 28. Now you can turn there if you want. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it's too long. But I'm going to read a little bit of it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 says, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of the ground and the fruit of the cattle and the increase of your herds and the young of your flock." And he lists a whole list of blessings. You go on in Deuteronomy 28, it says, "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." One of those curses, in verse 28 of Deuteronomy 28, "The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness." Verse 46, he says, "They shall be a sign and a wonder." Remember, they ask if it was him or his parents. In verse 46, it says, "They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever." Verse 59, "Then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sickness grievous and lasting." Does their question make more sense? This was the law. This was what they would have heard. I'm not sure that the interpretation they heard might have been quite correct, but this was the background, the context that they would have had to analyze this situation. So, now they ask this question. And then Jesus again shows us what it means to truly see. He tells them it's not because of anyone's specific sin, but that the works of God might be made manifest. And here, I think, is where the disciples differed some from the Pharisees. Jesus explains this to them. They're willing to learn. And we know they learned it because John and Peter and John are walking in a temple. They see this crippled man there begging. And they offer him healing, not condemnation. Interesting. Another interesting thing that I found in this as I was studying for this was this whole idea of being blinded by what you know. Isaiah chapter 29, you have virtually a prophecy of this situation. He says, I'm not going to read that whole thing either. It would take too long, but really interesting reading there. Astonish yourselves and be astonished. blind yourselves and be blind. Be drunk, but not with wine. Stagger, but not with strong drink. Verse 13, and the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, with their heart, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. And I think that was a situation that the Pharisees were in. They didn't really fear God. They used their commandments of men. That was their fear of God. Then a prophecy of Christ. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and poor among mankind shall exalt in the Holy One of Israel. Jesus. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Speaking of Christ, I want to skip just a few verses there. Verse 7, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7. To open the eyes that are blind. I'm sorry, verse 6. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I believe that's God's message. That was his purpose for his people, and it's his purpose for us today. That we don't look at people and judge them by their situation, but rather that we would seek to bring healing and lead the blind out of darkness. Goes on in Isaiah 42, says, hear you deaf, and look you blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. And I think that's the Pharisees' situation in this chapter. They saw many things, but they didn't see. The Pharisees, blinded by their pride. Blinded by their pride in their ability to see. They understood the law. They knew it. They knew what God wanted. So here in this story, they bring this man in front of them. And they got him to tell his story. They had the facts. But they didn't like where the facts led. And so now what do you do? When you get the facts, when you come to know Jesus, what do you do? They had a choice. They had to do something with it. Well, they first of all tried to write him off as a sinner. You know, if you don't have to accept his judgment, if you can, you don't have to accept his judgment. What he says about your laws, what he says about the way you're doing things, you don't have to accept that. If you can prove that he is a sinner. And so they tried to make him out to be a sinner. Interestingly enough, they couldn't even agree on that. Even some of them knew. Verse 16 says, others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. The others, they knew better than that. So they ended up divided. Knowing the facts does not bring saving faith or obedience. They had the facts. They knew what had happened here. And so they questioned the facts. I'm guessing probably they questioned them they were hoping to deny the miracle. They said, they got his parents. They said, is this your, you know, was he really actually blind, you know? And then finally, they reviled the man himself. I mean, just threw him out of the synagogue. Don't like the facts, so you throw the messenger out and get rid of him. They had the same set of facts that this man did. They knew. He told them what had happened. What was the difference in their response? His response to Christ is worship. Their response is to throw the messenger out. I think what they didn't want to do was worship Christ. The Pharisees saw. They knew the law. They knew how it was to be practiced. They taught the law to others. They showed others where they were wrong. But they were blind. Blinded by their unwillingness to surrender to Jesus. Blinded by their pride in the knowledge of the Scriptures. Nothing wrong with knowing the Scriptures. Nothing wrong with knowing what God wants. But they were blind, and they're blinded by their pride. They were blind to the possibility that God might work differently than what they thought. And they were blind to the saving knowledge of Christ. So for us this morning, do I see? All of us encounter truth in our lives. That truth may, those encounters take different forms. We may not meet up with a man who is just healed from being blind. More often, our encounters with truth come from uncomfortable interactions with people. For example, we have a scripture that says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Who's ever told a bad joke and someone rebukes us? You've just had an encounter with truth. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to attack the messenger? Prove that he's a worse person than you are? What are you going to do with it? That's often the way we encounter truth. Or maybe someone points out that our response to some situation wasn't really Christ-like. What are you going to do when you encounter truth? You've got the same choice that the Pharisees had in this situation, or the blind man. I think sometimes it helps us to see these encounters not so much as an attack on our person, but as an opportunity to free our lives of error. An opportunity to grow, a chance to be healed, a chance to improve our imitation of Christ. But so often we look at a chance to grow as a personal attack on us, and we respond like the Pharisees, and we do everything we can not to fall off the throne of our own life. So these are the people in the story, their interaction with the truth. One was blind, he received sight, and he received Christ. Some were spiritually ignorant, but they were open to Christ's teaching. I think they learned, that would have been the disciples. And some had insight, and they became blind. They stayed blind to who Jesus was. I'd like to have a few thoughts yet about sight, and the difference that sight, spiritual sight, makes in our lives. True sight goes beyond analysis of people to respond with compassion. Some people are better at analyzing people than others. But true sight goes beyond that to compassion. And we see that in Jesus' life. He ate with the tax collector, Zacchaeus. One of his disciples was a publican. He defended the woman who anointed his feet. He ministered to the woman taken in adultery. He touched the lepers and even the dead people. In each of those people, he saw what God saw, a person he had created and longed for relationship with. Sight brings compassion. Someone who knows the law, they know how people should do, they know the choices that people should make, and doesn't respond in compassion is likely blind. Because sight, true sight, brings compassion. Sight leads to ministry, not condemnation. Sight works to bring people into the kingdom, not put them out. Sight is not threatened by questions. Sight is not threatened by truth. And sight is not defensive of self. Sight is defensive of Christ and testifies to his work. Someone who has spiritual sight seeks forgiveness and reconciliation, not revenge in setting the record straight. How do you respond to situations? Is it a response of compassion? The other thing that spiritual sight does is brings clarity. You know, the Pharisees, they ask all these questions and ask him over and over and just anything they could do to muddy the water. Try to make this go away. Question the facts. Run down the healer. Accuse the healed man himself. You know, like, who are you? In fact, they said, who are you to teach us? And then they threw him out. Look at the clarity of the blind man's response to them. Basically, he says, whereas I was blind, now I see. He didn't profess to know how Jesus did it. I mean, other than he put the clay on his eyes, told me to go wash, I went and washed, and now I can see. Simple, straightforward truth. The blind man knew and owned his former condition. He said, whereas I was blind, now I see. And he knew and honored who healed him. What about us? So often we are not really comfortable with our former position or where we were or what we've been involved in. We don't want to own it. We wish it would just go away. No, it doesn't go away. It just is what it is. That's where I was. I was blind. Now I see. Sight. Those who have spiritual sight speak the truth in love. Responding with compassion doesn't mean that we don't speak the truth. And you see this in Jesus as well. Jesus, he had the rich young man came to him there and asked him what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus told him, keep the commandments, or you know the commandments. And he says he's kept all those. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. None of us can deny that Christ loved him. And yet, he spoke the truth straight out. He said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. The truth. In love. You see that in other places. In the Pharisee's house where he was eating there at the Pharisee, the woman came and anointed his feet, and so on. Jesus spoke the truth. He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee, are forgiven. This woman was a sinner, big time. And Christ does not minimize that. Instead, he offers forgiveness and a path to healing and a life above sin. That is the result of seeing with spiritual eyes, compassion and ministry, reconciliation and restoration. Sight brings light to situations. Jesus says here in verse 4, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Darkness is coming. We live in a dark world. There's nothing to be gained by lies, by denying the truth, whether it's in our own lives or the lives of others. I think one thing that is so helpful to most situations is when people can simply speak the truth. If you can't get the truth out of someone, you'll never get anywhere with them. You can see it in a big scale in the world today. People lie. You have to figure out when to believe people, when not to believe people. Our government tells us one thing and does another. And it's like, we're people. We can handle the truth. Most people can handle the truth. The truth does people more good than making them feel good or making them feel accepted or whatever. Tell the truth in love like Christ did. The Pharisees are not open to the truth. The problem with truth is, at least in this case for them, the truth put them in the position of admitting that they were wrong and they weren't on top of things and they didn't know best. The light of truth will make people uncomfortable sometimes. It just does. Some people will respond with anger. Your in-group may not like if you tell the truth. They put this man out of the synagogue when he told the truth. But I'd like to tell you something. They put this man out of the synagogue. They put him out of the in-group. And it was there that he met Jesus. After they threw him out, they wouldn't accept what he said. They wouldn't accept what he said about Jesus. It was there that Jesus met him. Don't be blinded by what you know. The Pharisees knew the law. They knew how to live. They knew what brought people to the place they were in life. They had insight. They understood how things worked. If these people had just made better choices, they wouldn't be here. Does that sound familiar? We're not so much different today, are we? Today we see, we know the scriptures, we know how God wants his people to live, and that is a good thing. But we don't know it all, and we can be wrong sometimes. My question in Sunday school, so you know these things, we know what God wants. What difference does it make when my heart is surrendered to Jesus? Do I need to unlearn everything that I know about God? No. Knowing all those things is a good thing. And I think in Romans chapter 8, or chapter 2 there, I just want to read those verses. A couple of verses that made an impression on me there. Behold, thou art called a Jew, verse 17, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest things that are excellent, more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, and a light to them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of trust in the law. I think the difference when someone who has that experience, someone who knows those things, when their heart becomes converted and they have a heart after Christ, the law, instead of being something that separates us and lifts us up above others, or something that we use to put other people in their place, which is below us, the law becomes a privilege. It becomes something that God has put in place for my good. It's something God has put in place for your good. And if I can help you to see that, then I think that is what God wants. I think God wants us. He wants us to walk in the light with confidence, but at the same time be humble and give him the glory and guide people to him. He wants us to see people the way he sees them, to bring them into the kingdom of God in full obedience to Jesus Christ. And that's what he told us. He said, teach them everything that I've commanded you. We tend to believe that people won't change, that situations are impossible to heal. People will never learn. But Christ gave both physical and spiritual sight to the blind man, and he gave spiritual sight to his disciples. The only ones who didn't change were the Pharisees, because they were blind. And now, I'm going to leave a question with you that I don't know the answer to. As I read this chapter, read this story, one thing that fascinates me about this chapter and I don't understand was why the spit and the dirt. Spit is an insult. You read the Old Testament, it was an insult. You read the New Testament, it was an insult. Three times in the New Testament we read that Christ spit. All three times he healed someone. The one time is in Mark chapter 8. And that one, he took the man aside and spit on his eyes and laid his hand on him and healed him. The other time was a man that was deaf, and he had a speech impediment, and he took him aside, put his fingers into his ears, spit, and touched his tongue. Healed the man. In this case, he spits in the dust, mixes it up with his fingers, puts it on his eyes. Why? I think there's a reason. It's in here. There's a reason it's recorded. But what is that reason? Lord, bless each one. Shall we pray?